Bibles, turn with me to Ezra chapter 8, the book of Ezra chapter 8, praise the Lord. Ezra chapter 8, we're going to read one verse, verse 6. Well, this doesn't look right. Great. Did I get the wrong verse? I hate when I do that. No, it's about him saying something and the church said amen. Let's see here. How embarrassing. Yeah, you can stop that, Stephen. We'll just act like I don't ever make mistakes. Nehemiah 8:6. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to begin, we're going to read one verse, verse 6. Actually, let's back up to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. It's a powerful verse. And Ezra blesses the Lord, the great God, just in case you didn't know who the Lord was. It's the great God. And when the people heard it, what did they say? They said, Amen, Amen. And so, Amen, the simple definition means so be it. And it's currently, the term amen has become little more than a ritualized conclusion to a prayer. You know, amen. Now let's eat, right? Amen, now let's eat. But the Hebrew and Greek words for amen appear hundreds of times in the Bible, and they have several uses. Amen in the Old Testament is a verb form, and it occurs more than 100 times and means to take care, to be faithful, reliable, or established, or to believe someone or something. And I like that, believe. You know, it's more than just saying so be it. It means you believe what was just said. Amen? I believe it, right? And so I say, amen. Now, the idea of something that is faithful, reliable, believable seems to lie behind the use of the word amen as an exclamation on 25 solemn occasions in the Old Testament. And so we have this word in our vocabulary. We say it often. And because we speak Christianese, the world hears us. And, you know, we may hear some good news or a testimony of something of what God did. And we may just go, amen. And the people look at us, you know. I remember one time my brother had just gotten rededicated to the Lord at a Baptist church, and Grandma was still alive. And it was around Christmas time, and he had borrowed one of the hymnals from his Baptist church, and Grandma was there. And he said, I thought we might sing some Christmas carols. And I don't remember what we started singing, but my Pentecostal Holiness Grandma started doing what Pentecostal Holiness people do. She began to praise the Lord and shout and hoop and holler. And my brother kind of had this embarrassed smile on his face. You know, sometimes I think we do that just saying amen, you know, and because it's part of our vocabulary. And people look at us like, oh, okay, you know. And the church, that is our vocabulary. Let the church say amen, amen. Now, when we say amen, it's because, again, we are, and I want to say this again, we hear it and we determine it to be a faithful, reliable, or established statement or to believe someone or something, we hear it, we hear the Word of God, and we know that it's reliable, and so we tack it on the end. It's not the end of a prayer. It's not some just ritualistic thing. What we are saying is, I believe that. Amen? I believe what that says. I've had someone say, do you really believe that stuff? I mean, like I was going to say, not really. I just kind of go to church, you know. Well, of course I believe it. That's why, in fact, I said, that's why I'm a believer. Because I believe it, amen? And so I say, amen. Now, I don't know. You know, some people start a new year with resolutions. For me, I take inventory of last year and ask the Lord, what did I do right? And what did I do wrong? And how can I do it better? Amen. And I know I've made a few changes lately, and I know not everybody likes change. But you know what? My goal is to be closer to Jesus in 2018 than I was in 2017. Let the church say amen. Amen. I mean, on a normal level, I am the same as all of you guys. I put on my pants one leg at a time. But God has put me in an office of the pastor, and I have responsibilities. So I have to be closer to the Lord. Not saying I am. I want to be closer to the Lord for you and for me. You guys will catch on a little bit. So many of us, 2017, had some great highs and a few lows. And I want 2018 to be better. The question is, can I make the lows high? I'm going to have some lows in 2018. We've got to be realistic. We're going to have some mountaintop experience. We're going to have some valleys. We're going to have some joys. We're going to have some tears. But if it's going to just be another 2017, then maybe I don't want to play, Lord. I want 2018 to be better. So how can I make the lows higher? Amen? Well, I think I can do it with the Word of God. There you go. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Let the church say, can I read that again? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Amen. Let the church say amen. Now, I can't say amen to the Word of God unless I know the Word of God, and so I have to meditate on the Word. Our responsibility to bad news may be, oh my, or oh no, or oh, this is just great, sarcastically speaking, right? Or now what? Or you got to be kidding me, right? Those are all things we could say if we hear bad news in 2018. But what if, when we hear bad news, we think of, well, what verse can speak to this bad news? And then when we hear the verse in our head, we say, amen. Amen. Why is he saying amen? They just said all three of his tires went flat. It's going to cost him $300. Amen. 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 Because I have got the bedrock of God's Word. He said, I will supply all your needs according. Amen. Let the church say amen. One of the common things we say, and I've said it. I don't know how much more of this I can take. How many have ever said that before? If you haven't said it, you haven't lived. Because we've been there. I just don't think I can take any more of this, Lord. But for every situation, God has a promise. Every situation, he has a promise. The challenge is just find it for that situation. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. Well, that sounds like someone who's weak saying, I don't know how much more I can take this. Lord, I can't take any more. I'm at the end of my rope. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Amen. Catch on in a minute. Every time I quote, okay, I'll just give you the answer key. Every time I quote a scripture, you need to say amen if this sermon's going to work, okay? All right, there you go. Can I read that verse again? Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength. Well, God, let me finish it first. Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Amen. Let the church say amen. Hallelujah. Now when you are weak, when you say, I just don't know how much more of this I can take, and you remember Isaiah 40:29, you've memorized it, you've taped it on your mirror, ladies, while you're putting on your Maybelline, or men, while you're shaving, and you're looking at it, and you're memorizing it, and you're meditating on it, you're chewing on it, you're getting it in you, it's not just in your head, it's in your heart, you bring it up like a cow chewing its cud, getting all the juices out of it. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And then you say, amen. And hopefully you don't cut yourself if you're shaving, guys, as you're shouting amen. How about amen? Don't be rewriting my sermon. It's called amen. Let the church say amen. Because amen, now you got to get this. Glory is fine, but amen means I believe what I just heard. That's what we said, right? That's what amen believes. You are believing it. If you don't believe it, it ain't going to work. Amen? Are you saying God's word won't work if you don't believe it? It won't work in your life. It's still God's word. But you've got to reach out and possess it. Amen? God said the children of Israel had to go in and possess the land. All the promises of God are yours, but you have to possess the land. And you possess the land by believing what it says and acting upon it. Now, what kind of world is it going to be in 2018 if us eight people out there in the world, and people are watching us, and they see bad news happen, and they wonder how we're going to react, and we start shouting, amen! Why is he saying amen? And they're going to ask you, they just told you this bad news. Why would you say amen? Because God's word said, now see, this ain't going to work if you don't have the word. Because you got to be saying amen to something. Amen? It's not just, you know, now let's eat. You're saying, I believe what the word of God says, and it says this. Amen? If you do not have the word of God, you can't say amen. It don't work that way. Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You guys are still a little slow here. Isaiah 40:31. Get the tape, woman. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing tapes anymore. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. I'm saying amen because I'm going to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to renew my strength. And when I'm weak, I'm going to be strong. And they're going to say, how can he stand up under that kind of oppression? And I'm going to just say, amen. That's how. Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Amen. Amen. Now, fear and faith are opposite ends of the spectrum. Fear extinguishes the fire of faith. And we are going to have opportunities to be fearful in 2018, I'm sure of it. But God said in Isaiah 41:13, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. Amen, that's right. And so, you know, remember when your daddy would say, son, give me your hand. No, stop, you know. Don't run out in that street, give me your hand. And then he'd just walk you across. Now, why is he doing that? Because there's dangers out there. You in danger, girl. Remember that? What was that, bro? Ghost, yeah. Whoopi Goldberg. Tell her she's, you in danger, girl. God said, you in danger, man. God does not have a black accent. Sorry, Lord. But you know, he knows you're in danger, and he's taking your right, he's taking your hand. So that when you cross the danger, you are protected. Amen. And he not only said he's going to take your right hand, then he says, do not fear, I will help you. Amen. That's right. And so when I'm tempted in 2018 to be fearful, I remember Isaiah 41:13, and he says, don't be afraid, I will help you. Wow. Lord, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling a little worried. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, yeah, Isaiah 41:13. You said, don't be afraid. You'll help me. Amen. Amen. I am standing on that promise. Amen. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. So be it. Amen. Amen. Don't you know the devil hates these kind of sermons? You know, I have determined that I'm going to preach to tick off the devil every sermon, Sunday sermon this year. Amen. Because he's messed with me too much in 2017. Amen. What was that thing in the back of your church said, Eddie? I am the storm. I am the storm, right? Isn't that what that says? The devil whispered in my ear. You're not strong enough to withstand the storm. We're recording this. And I whispered in his ear, I am a warrior of Christ. I am the storm. Amen. I'm the storm. How many are the storms? Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. I'm the storm. I'm the storm. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Amen. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither will the flames kindle against you, for I am the Lord your God. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the lies of the devil is, you know, this thing is too big for you. And that's what that verse is addressing. It's addressing water that you can't pass over, fire that you can't walk through. Amen. But God said, you can in him. Amen. I can. There is no fire so high and so hot that I can't walk through it in Jesus Christ. There is no waves of tribulation water so strong that he is going to leave me and will not be with me. I can pass through the river. I can pass through the fire. Amen. Amen. As Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Amen. Amen. And so, we're going to see some mountain shaking probably, as many earthquakes as happening. We bought tickets. Carolyn's son is graduating from law school in California. We bought airline tickets this week. It's not until May. But her dad and mom are flying into Reno and renting a car and driving on up to Berkeley. So we're going to go the same way they go, at least going. We're not going to stay and gamble on the way back like they are in Reno. But I saw this week there was 120, what do they call them? Swarm earthquakes in Reno. I said, I'm going to Reno, Lord. Amen. He's going to take care of it. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, Yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. I mean, mountains can disappear. People can disappear. Situations can change. But God said, I'm never changing. My love for you is unfailing. My love for you is unfailing. My covenant of peace will never be removed. Amen. Never is a long time. Never removed. My covenant of peace will never be removed. Boy, I like that never stuff when it comes to that, don't you? Aren't you glad that we're secure in Him? So instead of, oh no, or now what, let the church just say amen. Let the church just say amen. You guys want some more? But we got plenty of time. I've got 55,000 verses here. We'll be done by 10 o'clock tonight. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Amen. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Amen. Lord, I just don't know what to do. I wish I had that guy's wisdom. You don't need that guy's wisdom. You need His wisdom. And He said, if you'll just ask Him, He'll give it to you. Amen. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. Oh, that old devil's been on my back. I don't know what I'm going to do. Resist him, and he will flee. Amen. If you don't believe this stuff, it won't work. But if you believe it, it's the power of God. It's the truth. Amen. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us and clean us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's right. I believe that, don't you? How many of you guys have ever sinned after you got saved? Okay, boy, we got a church full of liars here this morning. We need to pray for you. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus. And if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you. John wrote this to the church. He wasn't writing it to the sinners. He was writing it to you and me. And the devil will come on you and say, you hypocrite. Look what you did now. You call yourself a Christian. Well, you know what? I confessed it, and I asked Jesus to forgive me, and He forgave me. So I don't know who you're talking to, but all I got to say is amen to the Word of God. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Amen. That's right. Okay, let me give you the key again. After I read the verse, you guys all say amen, okay? It's a kind of a learning curve, I think, with you guys. All right. Karen's got it down. I think Eddie's got it down when she's not writing. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read it again. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord Himself goes before you, and He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. All right, very good. Now, one more time, a bunch of Bible junkies in this place. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord Himself goes before you, and He will be with you. He's not only going before you, He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Amen, that's right. Man, that's a good one, isn't it? I love. They're all the Word of God, but listen to this. Fourth time. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. Now, when the devil comes on us this year, Deuteronomy 31:8, amen. The Lord is going before me. The Lord is with me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm not going to be discouraged. Amen. Yeah. All right. Most of you know this one. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's right. You know, it doesn't matter what the past was. The Apostle Paul said, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward." Amen. And as we entered this new year, the only thing that's going to make this year different than last year is my devotion, confident assurance, and quoting of the Word of God. Amen. And it will make crooked paths straight. It will make my road smooth. I will have victory in my life. I will have joy. I will have peace. People will say, "What in the world happened to him? He got the Word in him, and now it's coming out of him." Amen. Good stuff. All right, John 3:16. "For God so loved..." Now, put your name in there. Karen, Eddie, Lloyd. "God so loved Roger that he gave his only begotten son, that if he would believe in him, he would not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. I am saved not because of anything I've done. God so loved me, he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Malachi 3:10, "Bring your whole tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that you cannot contain." Amen. Mark 11:24, "Therefore I tell you that whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and you will have it." Amen. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Amen. 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 Amen, amen, amen. It's easy to learn. Sing it with me. Amen, 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 amen. What are you amening about? The precious promises of God. You know, most of these all attest to a couple of things. Not being afraid and recognizing that God is going to be with me. Amen. That's the challenge that we face in every day of our life, that something or someone or some lie of the devil is going to tempt us to be fearful. But God has given us promise after promise after promise that we don't need to be afraid. We just need to trust him. He is going to see us through. Amen. Philippians 4:19, "My God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God has everything. He knows where money is that none of us know where that is. We all know the story of Peter, you know, "I got to pay taxes, go catch a fish," right? And when you catch it, you know, open its mouth and there's enough money for us to pay taxes. So God's got it all somewhere. And so I don't need to look for it. I just need to look for God in every situation because he knows where it's at. I heard the story. Shambach told a story about a guy that was in one of their services. And they were talking about the importance of sowing. And we just read the Malachi verse about, you know, giving and it shall be given. And he was saving money for a brand new truck. He had never bought him a brand new pickup in his life. And he was saving money for this truck, and the Lord began to convict him in this service. They were talking about the importance of sowing and giving, and this was for some evangelistic cause, and the Lord began to convict him, and, you know, like any of us with the flesh, he was wrestling with it, and finally he said, whatever, and so he, you know, I don't know how much he had, like $11,000 saved or something, and he just gave it, and kept back a few thousand to just because he needed a new truck, and He just went and bought an old used one, a little better than his, not much. And he had it about a month, and he was driving down the road, and he started hearing this weird clanking noise. And he ignored it for a day or two, and finally he pulled over, and someone has wedged a Folgers can in there, and he opens it up, and there's $20,000 in that can, and he went and bought him that new truck. Now, you say, well, do you believe that? Amen. I believe it. That's just like my Jesus. Amen. And so the idea is that God has the money if you need money. He's got it somewhere. It's either in a Folgers can in a truck, or it's in a fish's mouth, or it's somewhere. So my problem is not money. My problem is trusting God for what I have a need for. Amen. That's right. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received and you'll have it. Amen. My God can meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Psalm 18:3, I called to the Lord who was worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Amen. That's right. Now, in the Old Testament, the enemies were the Amalekites, the Amorites, the somethingites. They had an ite in their name somewhere. They were their enemies. But in the New Testament, our enemies are demons. I mean, I'm convinced that much of my problem in my mental state is demonic. I want to have victory. I want to walk in total peace and victory over these demonic influences. And the world might say, well, you're schizophrenic. No, I'm a child of God who's under attack. And I'm going to win the battle with the Word of God. Amen. And so the promise is, I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. You know? Lord, help me! When Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink, he shouted, Lord, save me, and Jesus' hand was right there. Amen. And you may feel like you're sinking and you're going down for the third time, but the psalmist said, I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Amen. That's right. And so we call to the Lord. You know, I was watching a video by Derek Prince because I've been meditating on this whole spiritual warfare thing. And he did back in Derek. How many of you guys remember Derek Prince? It's been a while. He did a lot of sermons on spiritual warfare and demons. And he tells a story about how early in his ministry, and I think I can relate, I think I've been going through something like this, how he was under some kind of demonic attack. And he was praying and praying, and finally he came across the passage in Joel that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. You know, we often quote that as saved, and it may be saved in some texts, but this particular verse said delivered. And he began to quote it, and gone. Amen. And so God wants us to, you know, he doesn't want us to run from the enemies. He wants us to chase them. He wants us to run them out of town. Run them out of our, you know, the devil comes to church. The devil comes to church, and every individual has to know how to resist him. Because you can have a great service, and you can be receiving something from God, and one word the pastor says might hit a nerve, and you might take offense, and you're gone right then. The devil's got you. If you don't have it. Seriously, I know, because I've been there. I've had it happen. I remember sitting on a Sunday night service, and there were some things going on in my life. And Brother Moon was a great man of God, but his leadership style was kind of totalitarian, so to speak. And I've learned that sometimes pastors have to be that way. And I love the man. But on this particular night, there were some things going on. And Deborah said to me, man, this is a great sermon, isn't it? And I'm sitting over there doing one of these things because the devil was all over me. So I'm not telling you something that I haven't been through, okay? The devil comes to church, and all it takes sometimes is one little word or one little thought, and he can run and twist it and tick you off, and you just want to leave the church. But your problem is not what the pastor says, and your problem is not what Sister So-and-so says. Your problem is the demon that you're listening to. You need to get in the Word and stand on it. Amen? Amen. All right. That's it. That's it. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. That's right. Even though I'm going through the darkest valley, I'm going to fear no evil. Now, how can you do that? You quote the 23rd Psalm. I remember I was having, this has been before Carol and I were married, not long before. I was going through some things. And I was, at the time, I was sleeping on a little twin bed in that back room that has no heat and no air. I feel like I was a dog kicked out in the back room. And I was laying there meditating on the 23rd Psalm. The reason I was meditating on the 23rd Psalm was because I was going through a valley. Amen. When you go through the valley, the dark valleys, that's what you do. You meditate on the 23rd Psalm, the darkest valley. And you can fear no evil in the darkest valley if you stand on God's Word. The psalmist David wrote that because he knew it. It was in his heart. And when it's in your heart, then all you got to do is just think about it and say, amen. I don't have to be afraid. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold, of the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when you think about it, much of what the devil does in our lives is all head games to bring you into a place of fear, anxiety, or anger. Amen. And if he can get you there, he's got you. But he isn't going to get me. I read the back of the book, we win. I'm standing on the Word of God, the bedrock of His Word, and I'm going to say amen to His Word. I'm going to stand on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them, and He delivers them from all of their troubles. Ain't no trouble that God can't fix. Not bad, not good English, but good preaching. There is no trouble that God can't take care of, all of the trouble, not part of the trouble. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them, He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord delivers them from all of their troubles. I'm going to read this until everybody says amen. The Lord delivers them from all their troubles. All right, thank you. Let the church say amen. Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. I can testify, this was my life's verse. I can testify that this is true. I remember in Omaha, Nebraska, going to my pastor, Pastor Mayo, who I just found out went to be with the Lord last year. And I had met with him, and he asked me, Roger, write down some goals for your life and give them to me. And I wrote down, I want to preach the Word of God, and I'd like to learn how to be a computer programmer. And I hadn't really thought about it. I just began to delight in the Lord. And look what the Lord does. This verse works. But you don't pursue what you want. You delight in the Lord. And He gives you the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. Psalm 86:5. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abundant in love to all who call on You. Amen. Now, abounding in love to all who call on You. When you call on the Lord, we should call on the Lord in faith. Amen. I mean, you don't just say, Lord, I know that I'm not very spiritual and I don't deserve nothing, but no. You call on faith. It's an amen call. It's like, I'm going to end this call by saying amen, which means I'm standing on the Word of God, right? If you haven't caught that, that's what the amen means. I'm standing on the Word, what God said. Not what I feel, not what my emotions say, but what the Word of God says, amen? And that's why I say, amen, it's not the end of a prayer. It's not, now let's eat. It's, I am standing on the holy, infallible Word of God. And so, when I call him up on the royal telephone, and I say, Lord, it's me again, and he says, yes, son, then I say, I just want you to know, amen. And he knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's like, you get it, don't you? Yeah, I got it now, God. The answer to my problems is the promises of God and my ability to stand on them. And he says, good job. Keep it up. You're doing fine. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And aren't you glad that we have been called? Amen. Every one of us in here have been called by the Lord for his purposes, not ours. We're not here to do our own thing. We're here to please the Lord. And when we are, all things work together for good. Now, they don't always look like they're working together for good. And so in 2018, we may see some things and say, Lord, this doesn't look like it's working together for good. And then you remember, let the church say amen, and you say, oh yeah, Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good. And so you just have to say, well, then I have to just say to this situation, amen. God's got this. Psalm 9:9-10, the Lord is our refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Praise the Lord. That's good, isn't it? You have never forsaken those who seek you. A stronghold in times of trouble. And I like how it says in verse 10, those who know your name. Yo sé su nombre. I know your name, Lord. You didn't know I could speak all that Spanish, did you? That's about the extent of it. Hallelujah. Those who know your name. I think about when the seven sons of Sceva were trying what the Apostle Paul was doing, casting the demons out. And, you know, when we start talking about demonic influence, I did think about this. I said, Lord, you know, we start treading in the enemy's camp, we're going to stir up a hornet's nest. And he said, it's all right. It's got to be done, right? And so I'm okay with stirring up a hornet's nest. How about you guys? Because I'm tired of just playing church. I want to win. I want to see victory in our lives. I want to see souls saved. I want to see deliverance. And so when we say those who know your name, the seven sons of Sceva tried casting out demons, but they had a form of it, but they didn't have the goods. And the demon said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? You know the story. Jumped on them like, you know, whatever on whatever, right? And ripped their clothes off and they went running. And I don't want to start a fight that I can't win. Jesus said, if you're going to battle, count the cost. Amen. And so as we go forward in 2018, this sermon can't be Sunday, January 21st sermon. This has to be everyday sermon. I mean, if you're going to fight the fight, you're going to have to be ready. You can't just load three bullets and say, okay, I'm going to take on the devil. You better get you some ammunition, brother. You better get you a bazooka of the Word of God. You better do more than just hear it on Sunday morning. You better commit it to memory. You better meditate on it. You better be ready. Because Jesus, we said it in Sunday school, Jesus had to do it. So how can I think I can't get by doing it any less? Amen? I need to know the Word. I need to have something to stand on. I can't say amen if I don't know it. Can't say amen, say ouch. Okay. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's right. And so, the Apostle Paul in Philippians, you know, we start out, don't be anxious. Now, anxious, anxiety. You know, America is full of anxiety right now. Our world, it has more anxiety and more hang-ups than it's ever had before. And back in the days, like when people didn't have anything, you know, carrying the wood to heat their house and, you know, eating a pot of beans for 2 days because there's nothing else in the house or whatever, they didn't have the hang-ups we have. We are the richest society and the most messed up society that America has ever seen. The industry for, and I've seen psychologists, so I'm not knocking them, but that industry is in demand because of that. I went and saw one time, and he said, Roger, it's really refreshing to hear someone who's coming because they want to improve in certain areas of their life. He said, but because the state requires some of these people to be seen by me 3 times and the Medicaid pays for it, all they're wanting to do is get their 3 times so they can go back home and watch Maury, what's his name, and get their check and eat their Cheetos. And that's really sad, isn't it? So they're okay in their place, but the answer is not just psychology. The answer is be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And the God of all peace will give you peace that passes understanding. And then you could say, amen, I've got it. I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm meditating on the Word of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we're out of time. I've only got 12 pages of notes. No, I got 2 more pages. You want me to finish the last 2 pages? You want me to stop? I don't care. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Amen. James 5, 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church to pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. Amen. Matthew 6, 31, 33. So do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Which of you, if you ask your son for bread, will give him a stone? If you ask for fish, he'll give him a snake. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107, 13 through 16. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is good stuff, isn't it? John 14, 13 through 16. And I will do whatever you ask, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you, and He will be with you forever. Amen. Luke 11, 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if you ask a son for fish, will give him a snake instead? For he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you, though being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And the church said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Nola. Before we close, I just want you to know that I love each one of you, and I want 2018 to be your year of victory. I'm not just believing for me, I'm believing for all of us, amen. And I believe that God has a special plan for each person in this room. I believe He's going to do some things in your life that you would have never thought possible. I mean, God's going to use you in a way that you've never been used. God's going to comfort you with a comfort you've never felt before, a warm blanket of the Holy Spirit. God is going to equip you. God is going to break some chains and set you free. God is going to deliver you from lies that the devil's been lying to you for years. And 2018 is going to be glorious. And how will it be? If you get in the bedrock of God's Word and do more than just think about it, meditate on it. I mean, that's my challenge to you. It's a challenge to me. I have a busy schedule. And even though my schedule's busy, I'm willing to commit the time because I don't want my new year, 2018, to be like 2017. I had some good times and I had some bad times. But, you know, we're out of time. This may be it. And I don't want to limp across the finish line. I want to go across running, looking for Jesus who's waving me on like that third base coach, right? Keep going. You're heading for home. You got this. And hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. That stupid lying devil has held me long enough. Should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I don't suppose you can play that little amen ditty, can you?
Oh, I can play it. I don't.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. One more time. Amen. God's on my side. Amen. Running devils out of town. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.